Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, baby. You are now tuned in to DJ Shine on the HILL Top Radio Show. What that is? Hilltop, mother.
Shut your mouth.
What? I was only talking about the baddest radio station on the land, you heard me?
Oh.
Well, what that is?
Hilltop.
Listening to the best DJ, keeping the party rocking on all social media platforms. Stay tuned for more hip hop and R&B. The best mixes.
Playing the bangers. Don't forget to wash your hands.
There's no need to look confused because you know who's in the building.
Who is it?
World Play DJs.
All right, welcome everybody to a special Sunday afternoon radio show with yours truly, DJ Shine. Hilltop Radio Show. We're calling it the Unplug. And I want to thank everybody again for favoring the Hilltop Radio Show as one of the baddest radio stations in the DMV, Carolinas, and worldwide right here on Hilltop Radio Show. It's your boy DJ Shine. We have an awesome special guest here today. We're tuning in to the UK, y'all. The founder and creator, one of the founders and creator of Loose Ends, own Carl. Welcome to the show, man. You there? You there, Carl? Let me see. Try this again. Okay, Carl, you there?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go.
Can you hear me?
All this technology. Hey, man, it's a pleasure having you on here. And a shout out to Elroy Johnson for making this happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Uncle Leroy, that's my man.
Yeah, he's the man.
He definitely is.
Well, man, definitely. Again, I'm so excited. I've been a fan.
Wow.
When you guys first started in, you know, coming to the U.S., man, back in the 80s. And,
oh, wow. That's
I can't say any more. Man, I mean, you guys did y'all thing.
Thank you for a moment. Yeah, it was nice. It was.
So tell everybody a little bit about you, man, and what are you doing these days?
What? Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we probably can get to that later on, what I'm doing now, but I mean, I can briefly tell you that I was in the group Loose Ends, and I had two partners. One was Steve, and the other one was Jane. Steve was the leader, and Jane was the lead vocalist. And I was brought in to play bass, basically. Later on, I sort of moved to the front, and in moving to the front, well, this is the story we're going to tell, but in moving to the front, I guess anytime someone goes from the back to the front, other people who were at the front probably may get a little bit disgruntled, and it caused certain waves. I mean, I didn't mean for it to happen, but I had a lot of music in me, and basically I was just a bass player, but I could do a lot more. I could do songwriting, I could write hooks, and I could write top lines and stuff, and it just helped everyone out. But then in the end, I think I may have just gone a little bit too crazy with them. I was in bands a lot longer than Jane and Steve. I think they were in college and they came out and started a group straight away called Loose Ends, or Loose End, I should say. And then I met them. We didn't have a deal at that point. It was just a little outfit working out of a guy's house in the 80s, probably about 81. And then we did a few songs, and luckily enough, we were signed by, it wasn't luckily at first, it was a guy that had a job at a small label that got fired, that then had Fortune and moved to Virgin. And then he took our tape with him. So at first, we thought we were going to sign to a small label, and then he got fired from a small label and got hired by a bigger label and took us with him. So we were quite.
And vice versa. You get fired from a big label and go to a smaller label. Okay.
Right. Yeah. But, he did the other way around. You know, he was at a small label. I think it was called City Sounds, and then some reason he got hired over Christmas. He had our demo in October, and we didn't hear from him, and we wondered why, and then we heard that he got fired. So we thought, okay, well, that's a dead end then, I guess. And then we got a phone call saying that he actually was hired with Virgin, and he had our tape. And from his side of the story, apparently, how it goes is that he's in Virgin, and they're saying, great, well, we don't know nothing about urban music, so you're the man.
Oh,
and,
wow.
We love it. So they're telling him that. And so then he's under a whole heap amount of pressure. And so they say to him, so do you have any ideas? What are you going to do? And apparently, the only idea he had was us in his back pocket. He's like, I've got this group I want to sign. So, you know.
Y'all in the back pocket, there it was.
Right?
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
And he signed it. Yeah. We were signed for all the wrong reasons at the right time, you could say. We were making jazz music that was influenced by America, but it had a little Jamaican sort of backbeat to it, and English radio stations hated us. We didn't get played in England, zero play Radio 1, zero play anywhere in England. Matter of fact, we had to drive around each mall radio station and do interviews, just do hundreds of interviews in order to get the airplay up to the point where the song went into the top 40, and it was mandatory for big radio stations to play it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been heard. We had to do that groundwork because they weren't playing our record.
I think that's what a lot of groups are missing. I didn't mean to cut you off, Carl. That's what a lot of groups, a lot of upcoming artists now, they don't know how to put in the groundwork in order to get the next level. They expect that, oh, your management's supposed to do everything, and that's not true, correct?
I'm so <totally weak. laughs> But it didn't work out that way.
Right.
We were like, oh, the manager will do that. The manager came back with some long story saying how, excuse me, he was like, well, they're not playing your song. So you have to get in the car and drive up and down the country and convince these people that you're nice folks, and then maybe they might play the song. And it backfired a few times, because when people liked the song that we were doing, they would say, oh, brilliant, and they'd be pushing the song so much that the marketing poll that does the compiles all the figures for the chart placings would weight the song. That means hold it back.
Yep.
Because they feel that our presence in the area has had a huge change on what the chart should have been. So in other words, they were charging us as hyping, which to me, I don't understand that, because you're supposed to promote your record, aren't you?
But, that's right.
I guess we were doing it too much in some places. Well, you know, we just took the punches. You know, we just went with it. You know, whatever. We got bags of music. You know, we don't care. And we started making these three single records. You know, we'd have one song on one side and two songs on the other, because Radio One demanded that we played very commercial music, otherwise we wouldn't enter their playlist. Which is very much as it is now. You have to put, you know, you have to work to a limitation. Basically,
right.
They have a playlist, and if you don't fit that specific fit, like genre, then they don't play it. This is something that we have to deal with. But we were like, why did you sign us? You know, we do soul music. Why would you sign us and then tell us we have to play a specific type of music to fit this particular playlist? We don't do that. We play soul music. And the only way we could get away with that was with clever little marketing tricks, like putting a very bland song on the A side, and on the B side we'd have songs like Gonna Make You Mine, songs like, you know, Slow Down, or you know, really warm, I don't want to say the word black, I don't use colors, but they're very much urban, very much our music on
right,
the B side.
Right.
And that would get played in the clubs, you know, so we kind of found a way around it. But it just goes to show you, you know, this game is quite racist, you know, the whole thing with the radio and being able to limit the activities of the other people that they don't like. So Loose Ends wasn't really a liked group in England. The music industry in England, they didn't consider us to be anything. And they thought, you know, we'll just hold them back.
Wow. You guys were...
And now music got to America.
Guys were one of the hottest groups coming
America
out of
now.
The UK. And they didn't like y'all?
Right.
Wow.
But not in the UK. Yeah, no. They were like, no, we don't like this group. They liked that music coming from America. They didn't like the music being made in England. I think they pigeonholed soul music to be a black thing, a black American thing. And groups that came from England were never going to be successful being anywhere near the name black. You know, that was not going to help you. You have to be commercial, and you have to be something that they consider bubblegum pop, or, you know, that sort of really easy, like what you're hearing now, basically. It was always
right.
In that direction then. We were trying to fight it, but they just couldn't play our song.
That sounds kind of racist.
But, you know, now that, it is racist. And there's no, I'm not pulling no punches there. You know, I actually went through that. And if you look at the Music Week, which is the main music magazine for Europe, if you look at their airplay listings for the 1980s, you will see that black music maybe gets played at 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock at night, you know, after all the major rush hours. And, you know, they've got drive times in the morning. They've got a morning show where people are statistically listening to radio when they're working, when they're going to work, when they're coming home from work. We won't get played in none of those times. We get played at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, when everybody's asleep.
You know.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
No, that's what I was saying, Carl. Carl, that's what I was saying. That was kind of racist toward how they were playing your music and how they were making you guys do, you know, how everything was corporate. Yeah, yeah. And didn't want to listen to y'all's music. But like I said, y'all was the hottest thing coming out of the UK was since, what, the Beatles?
But, you know, that's a great thing. And even, what's the girls group, those girls that came out?
Pussycat Girls?
Pussycat Girls. The ones that came out of England, what were they called? Memory is so bad. Anyway, they heard them in I think Victoria Beckham and Michelle Brown, whatever her name is, they're in that group. Anyway, that group from England, they sound great in England, in America. But in England, they just sounded, you know, so-so. But in America, I think some of the difference of the diversity that happens in England, it really does get well appreciated by Americans. Americans really know music. They know when it's got that little difference to it. Whereas in England, I think it's very much a political game. You know, they're just trying to sort of hold on to who's going to be at the top. And they definitely, you know, fix the numbers so that those people that are in the top 10, you know, they're very much contemporary pop, working to a limitation, trying to fit the playlist, you know, the whole thing. But we weren't trying to do that. And we didn't want to do that. I think we would have to do that now, but we would definitely try not to do that. We were kids, you know. We were fighting against the machine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Carl.
Again,
we got the one and only Carl here from Loose End. And, again, we appreciate you and your music and still what you're doing today as far as, you know, still giving us good music. We appreciate you and everything that you've done and still doing as well. What is something the leadership through labels, you know, like you mentioned, you came from the back to the front.
Right.
That kind of ruffled people's feathers.
Right.
Do you think that the labels and management manage you guys to be a part, to come out with controversy and, you know, and people leaving, people getting mad, people going to other radio stations and talking bad about, you know, other members? And you don't have anything to do with that. Do you blame the management on that, or do you blame the label?
Well, okay, so first of all, the whole thing with the breakup, that was very much not the management or the I can't blame Virgin or anyone for that. That was the internal structure of Loose Ends. Just different people doing different things. And I do think it could have been managed better, actually. I do think that my manager could have done a better job to manage that situation. However, it was in real time, and looking back on it, you know, now that I'm older, I sort of think, well, you know, it was happening so fast. 1 minute we were on tour with Freddie Jackson, and another minute it was like, people were at each other's throats. We were very much, we were stifled, really stifled in England. And we wasn't getting the love, but we got a lot of the love from America. And so we toured America before we toured England. And while we were doing that, we found that certain things were growing out of proportion. So the leader of our group, Steve Nichol, he's the main man. He's the guy that he was the go-to guy. And what that happened was with Steve was he was a great keyboard player and he was good narrator with record companies and he was great at talking to producers. Nick Martinelli had great relationships with all of these people, all of the corporate people, but inside the unit, most of the writing was done by me and Jay. And Steve, although he was the leading figure, he was the guy that would, he would just kind of play the keys and do a lot of the translation from a guitar song, which is how a lot of them started out, to, you know, keys and drum patterns, you know, keys and an arrangement. And me and Steve would sit down and work on arrangement, and me and Jane would sit down and work on lyrics and melody and stuff. And after a while, what had happened was that Steve was kind of, he was a bit of a company man. I'm not putting him down, I don't want to, this isn't a bad thing, but Steve was one of those guys, he gets up in the morning, he goes to the studio, he comes home at 7, and he, you know, he's not, you can't get him after that. But
right.
With the way how, you know, with the way how Virgin, the music industry in England was dealing with us, I just felt that that wasn't enough. You can't go home at 7. We've got songs to write. We've got to crack this. And I wouldn't say nothing. I would just be that guy in the studio writing a new song when he would be saying, "Hi, bye, I'm going home." And there, that was, you know, so that started to...
Wow.
It wasn't an issue for me, but I guess for him, what started happening was the leader and the band, well, so you know, I was the band, basically, because Steve was the leader. He played keys. I played the percussion and the drum machines and the bass and the all the other little bits and the vocal bits. And I think for the most part, with Steve going home early, he gave me a lot of opportunity to stay in the studio and listen to Nick Martinelli and watch these guys and, you know, see how it was done. And then, you know, we kind of, I think Steve could see that I was sort of catching up to him and maybe having my own ideas. And there was a little bit of, he was quiet about it. He was very polite, but I think he could feel that, you know, this is growing and it's growing without him. So there was a little bit of him trying to sort of, not restrict me, but, you know, hold me a little bit. It's a bit like, you know, the Scarface movie where, you know, where Scarface is looking at that guy, the dude in Florida, and he's looking at him, this guy, I don't know. Yeah, and Steve was looking at him like, keep your eye on him, you know, I'm gonna keep my eye on that guy. But in the end, I mean, I love him and everything, but in the end, I was hungry. I knew that these people were racist, and I knew that you literally have to do what Beyonce did. You know, you have to be successful maybe 3, 4, 5 times over before they actually got it, that you was the one. You know,
they recognize you before they recognize you, correct, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we got into one when I fell out with Nick Martinelli. You know, Nick Martinelli is our producer. And when we got back from doing the Hanging on a String thing, which is like 84, Nick Martinelli changed the studio to a different studio, and it just didn't work because Nick Martinelli was growing with this whole digital age, and it sounded great and everything. It sounded like we were in the top technology, but I'll be honest with you, I did not like it. And so I fell out with Nicky. I was like, this don't sound good for our music, this digital stuff. And he was like, listen, bitch, sorry. He was like, listen, you just concentrate on bass.
I'll take care of the music.
And let me worry about that. So we kind of fell out, you know. But then when I got back to England and I played people that what we were doing, they said the same thing. They were like, Carl, I don't know, you just did Hanging on a String. You got to come with something, you know, serious. So I think Jane and Steve kind of heard that, and they was like, okay. But I had previously rented a whole bunch of equipment to my mother's house, and I recorded some songs, which I tricked Jane into singing. The first song was Gonna Make You Mine, and then the second one was Slow Down, and the Slow Down with the dub record. But the first one was funny because I said to Jane, I was writing a song for a girl that I know called Jeanette Bambo. She's a reggae singer. She's passed now, but Jane came over and sung "Don't I Make You Mine?" Yeah, she did the whole thing, and it was like great. She didn't think nothing of it. But later on, when this album Zora wasn't working out, you know, I had the demo in my pocket, so just like the Nick Clark thing, you know, the guy that signed it. The demo was there already, so the album wasn't working as Zagora. It was a little bit too technical and digital. It didn't sound good at all. And I produced the Gonna Make Your Mind demo, and everyone loved it. So, you know, that's how that came about. But when that came about, it actually triggered the extinction event, really, of Loose Ends, because then Steve was now looking at me like, oh, okay, this guy. He really thinks he's the man.
Now I gotta really watch you with my eyes.
Yeah. And that was like the beginning of the end, really. I mean, I loved him and everything, but you know, it's just you know, when you're young and you're just trying to do the best you can and you're passionate about what you do and you know, you're seeing how the world is taking you, how the world perceives you. You want to make it a better place with you in it and your music in it. And sometimes the people around you are just not sharing that. They just want to do their little thing and, you know, go shopping or go and do their, you know, their life. And I was just really sort of driven at that point, you know. And that was it, really. But I think the seed kind of looked at that a bit like, this guy, we have to watch him. We have to keep our eye on this dude.
Keep your eye on him. Let me do this real quick, Carl. This is the plug. Hold on a second, Carl. This is the plug radio
right.
show, you guys. This is live, and we got the one and only Steve, Carl. Now I'm calling you Steve.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I apologize. Here on Hilltop Radio Show, we're tuned in the UK. It's about a little after 8 o'clock over there at night. And again, we want to shout out Leroy Johnson. Nobody doesn't know who he is. That's Rick James' brother for this hookup and everything. Carl, what I'm getting ready to do at this time, I'm getting ready to invite my DJ, DJ Wiz, is on the line with us as well. And he put together a nice little mix package for you, man, loose end mix. Wiz, you there?
Yes, up here.
Okay, man. Welcome to the show.
Talk to you.
Pleasure to meet you, Cole.
Pleased to meet you, sir. It's my pleasure. I hear you got some music there.
Yes, sir. And we'll make sure, after the show, Carl, we'll make sure you get a copy of this mix so you can keep it in your back pocket like the other
Brilliant.
Demos. All right, you guys. This is DJ Wiz.
Well.
Okay. Well, when you get the new material, you send it my way. We'll play it here for you. Trust and believe that.
I'll
play it for you.
Uncle Leroy Johnson. I know that he will get that music too. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm gonna start calling him Uncle too now. I know he's listening.
I know. That's my
Roy.
Man. He is so cool.
Yeah, he is. Well, this is dedicated from us here at Hilltop to you. This is made by DJ Wiz, and here we go.
This is a World Play DJ's exclusive.
They're the best.
You're tuned in to the Hilltop Radio Show with DJ Wiz.
I'm
That was hit by the whole COVID thing.
Oh man, I would love that over here. Soul to soul. Losing soul to soul over here? Man, yeah. Y'all would have went. They, people would have went crazy over here.
Wow. And soul to soul have a great show as well. They got all the girls playing the violins and stuff. It looks really cool, you know? So, anyway, we might even get that. We might even do that without. You know, the agents involved, because me and Jazzy, we speak now, and me and Karen are good friends. You know, I was involved in her solo records, so we're all good friends, you know. So hopefully,
I'm gonna have to go to the record label and push that one. Man, we got to have Loose Ends and Soul to Soul, man. We got to have it. Make it work.
Yeah, I mean, we were both on the same label as well. We're both on Virgin. You know, so it was just the same guy. In fact, the guy that had our tape in his back pocket, he's the same guy that signed Soul to Soul. So, you know, he was a great guy. His name's Nick Clark, and he signed Jazzy, and he signed us. Yeah, yeah. English dude. He knew music. He was a DJ.
Yeah, he knows music. He knew his groups. Because DJ Wisman. DJ longer than me, but when you guys came and hit, the U.S. and y'all's music, Wiz, if you can remember, their music took us by storm. It was like, where the hell they come from? You know what I'm saying? The clubs, radio.
It's funny because limitations, you know, because we didn't get a lot of airplay, we didn't get a lot of love. It made us try harder, and so that when we did bus, it was like a balloon popping rather than, you know, we didn't come up slowly because we were trying so hard, and then suddenly it just happened, you know. So that was a beautiful time, though, the 80s. I really enjoyed my 20s, so it was good.
I wish every year we could go from 80 to 89 back to 80 again. I swear I do, man. Man, the 80s was music was good. Everything was calm. People came together as a whole. We ain't have no unnecessary crap going on, man. And it's like back to the music, man. The music was just like enjoyable to hear, and you could just relax with it, man. Yeah,
a lot of soul, you know, a lot of white groups. I mean, David Bowie, Scritti Politti, Robert Palmer.
Police.
There was all in it. We were trying to make this soul thing happen, you know.
Police.
Crack cocaine came along. It messed up, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, it really took hold over here, and it had a bad effect, you know. After that, it was all, and I feel it now, you know, it's all crime. Music is about crime now. If you ain't committing a crime, have committed a crime, or about to commit a crime, you're not really in the music industry. I shouldn't say it like that, but a lot of singers, if you look at the type of outlook, the perspective that the singers were trying to sell was that I'm a good guy, I've got a suit on, and I can sing and I can entertain you. That was the prerequisite to the 80s. And then the 80s came along and it was all about that, you know, sophistication. Mm-hmm. Then towards the end of it, after the crack, it was like, I'm a gangster. I shoot people and I never hesitate to put it on his back, you know, all that stuff. That's crazy, you know. I just
gangster rap.
Smashed it up, really, and I think very politically driven, that one. Because since then, children are dying because of the music. I'm a foster carer now, and I see it, you know. These kids are rapping, they got this thing over here, I don't know if you have it over there, it's called drill. You ever heard of that?
No.
Yeah,
no,
they got this new music now, it's called drill. Rappers are singing about bad stuff, you know, like he's got your girlfriend on his knee, and he's going to do things to her. He did things to her last week, and some rappers are killing people over it. So that part of the game is not good. You know, I don't like to see that, but it happens a lot. And you know, I don't see our counterparts killing each other over some music, so I don't know why we're doing that. No, but it happens, you know. It's really gone weird since that whole thing in the 90s, and I wish we could just get back to, you know, making sweet songs about life and love and living good, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you come out with your music, make sure Uncle Johnson gets it, and he gets it over to us, because we damn sure are going to play it here on the Hilltop. Believe that.
One of the songs is called Better Life on Mars. And the whole album, the whole new album is going to be about the future and technology and what we're, you know, where we're going at the moment. And, you know, I'm tired of singing just I love you, you love me, and everything's good. You know, we have to start thinking about what's happening now. It's very hard.
Right.
Everybody, this is a song about, you know, simple stuff.
Right.
When we're going through this, you know.
That's right. Everybody, this is Carl. This is Mr. Carl McIntosh of Loose Ends here live on the plug.
Hey.
Carl, what I like to do is
thank
get
you for
back.
Having me.
Hey, man, we're going to do a part two with you. It's a storm here in Charlotte right now, and it's real nasty. And I don't want to be on the radio and bust loose, because we lost power a couple of days ago. Well, Friday, we lost power for about 4 hours. So I don't want to be on here when it's popping, not crackling, popping. Any shout out you want to give, Carl?
No, I mean, I'd like to give a shout out to Leroy Johnson, Rick James' brother, who is like my backbone at the moment. He's my mentor. And, you know, he's the calm figure that's behind me at the moment, giving me all the advice I need. And what makes it great, he has the experience of being with Rick and all the past fables that I know. You know, he's been through all that. So, you know, I've got to give him a shout. A shout out to Eric Dial, which is another one of the people that work with me and my team. He was a part of the Break for Love record, that whole acid thing that came out in the 90s, which, you know, me and him become great friends since. And he's over here now in England, and we work together, and he introduced me to Leroy, and you know, this is a really good guy. He's been in the industry.
Oh yeah, very good guy.
He was there when
I
was being successful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric is just such a good guy, man. I love him. And so anyway, that side of it, those people are very special to me, and I hope to bring them with me when I move into the next gear. But apart from that, you know, I just want to say big shout-out to Jane and Steve. I love them dearly, and hopefully, you know, we can get together again. You never know. And, you know, just hope everyone keeps it safe. Yeah.
Hey, man. I love the UK and everything, man, but I be thinking, man, that's a lot of damn water to be crossing to come see y'all.
You know,
that is a lot of water, man.
We'll get out there and see you soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, man, we're going to get you back on for part two soon. And also, I'm gonna send you some radio drops for us. What to say? Can you drop us? You know, me and DJ Wiz. Can you make us some drops for the radio, man? We appreciate that.
Definitely.
Okay.
No worries. Just send it through Uncle Leroy, or you can send it to Eric, and they'll put it to me. Okay.
Yeah, I'll send it to Uncle Leroy.
All right,
and we'll get it to you, man. Again, we thank you, man. We'll make sure you get this mix. And I apologize for rushing you off here, but it's nasty down here in Charlotte right now, North Carolina. That's where I'm out of. And DJ Wiz is out of the DMV area. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Okay. I love Charlotte. I like Charlotte. Charlotte's a lovely place. Nice people. We played there a few times when we were on tour with Freddie Jackson. It was wicked.
Well, when you get back on tour, we're going to bring you on down here. You believe it?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to come.
Yes, sir. Yes,
all
sir.
Right.
We're going to take care of you. All right, man. Carl, the one and only Carl
right.
McIntosh of Loose Ends, everybody here on Hilltop Radio
Woo-hoo.
Show. We want to thank you for being a part of the show, man.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you for having me. Okay. Bye.
All right, everybody. That was Carl McIntosh. Here on the Hilltop Radio Show, along with me, myself, and DJ Wiz. DJ Wiz, man, you know, Loose Ends had some good music. You know, they had two number ones, a number two, and a number 10 Grammys, and there was big time music back in the, you know, in the 80s. You know, 84,
oh, yeah.
5
80s. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been there. Their music in all the clubs back in the day, I mean, that was their hot, you know, they were hot songs they had back then.
I think the best one I love was Slow Down, because everybody knew that from word to word. Slow down.
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
then when we
yeah.
found out that they were from the UK, it was like, wow. They
mm-hmm.
came out of nowhere with their music, man. But that's how I say, man, the 80s was the year to be. The music was awesome. The music was wholesome. I miss it, man. I really
mm-hmm.
do, man. I'm a 70s baby,
oh,
but
yeah.
if I could live the 80s, over and over and over again, I would, man. I would. Oh, indeed, I would. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on the social media, man.
You can follow me on Facebook at Steve Gustus, G-U-S-T-U-S. Also, you can follow me on Instagram, hashtag Steve Gustus. And you can also find me on Facebook under World Play DJs. DJ Wiz, and you can catch me 5 nights a week right here on the Hilltop Radio Show. Also, you can catch me on the Doc Honeycutt Morning Show every Sunday morning on
105.3. That's a early morning show at 5:30 in the morning. 5 o'clock in the
yeah.
morning, boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
yeah, shout out to man, real quick, I tuned into her interview last night on Power 104.4 last night on the radio dial. Once again, shout out to Uncle Leroy Johnson for making this interview happen with Mr. Carl McIntosh and Eric as well. For me and Eric Dial, been going back and forth trying to make things meet, and Leroy as well. So we appreciate you guys here at Hilltop. We're going to get Carl back on for a part two, man. He's got a lot of knowledge, man. I just want to get into more about the music, you know, the technology was a little faster over there than it was here, because, you know, he was talking about the digital tile. So that's what I want to hear about. Yeah, I guess we're a little slow over there. But, man, you know, Heat Wave will be with us, hopefully, at 9 o'clock tonight here on the Hilltop Radio Show, man. So, everybody,
right.
again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in for a special Unplugged radio show live with Mr. Carl McIntosh of Loose Ends, myself, DJ Sean, and the one and only DJ Wiz right here on the Hilltop Radio Show. You guys be good, be
Definitely.
Blessed, and we'll see you again at 9 o'clock. Peace.
All right. Peace.
There's no need to look confused because you know who's in the building.
Who is it?
World Play DJs. World Play DJs.